This is RSVNB Update, episode 588, recorded Thursday, October 6th, 2016. Count check, account check. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVNB Update once again. This week marks our entrance into the final phase of this year, and to move along with that, we do have a new co-host for this quarter, and that is, as I alluded to by accident on the RuneFest episode, Mr. Bistro from RSVNB Informer.
Bistro, please.
We do have a question about that later, about where that all comes from, so we'll save speculation into why you want to be called that until later on in the question segment. I guess we can probably just get started off, and I'll just have you tell the listeners a bit about yourself. I know you have been a listener since way back in the olden days, so introduce yourself.
Well... I am the Mr. Bistro. I've played RuneScape since 2006, I believe. And I've had a lot of friends that take breaks with this game and don't play it for a while, and I haven't been one of those people. So I've been playing this game pretty much nonstop since 2006, which is pretty crazy, and the amount of hours that go into that account is something that I don't want to talk about.
What does your rune metric say?
I'm not going to bring that up right now. If people are really dying to know, I guess they can ask, but I'm going to keep that private for now.
All right. Combat, of course, you like covering that for Informer and the podcast as well. So that's a bit of a different perspective from everyone else this year. We had Colton, the lore noob, and then after that we had Dave, the skiller, and Sirion, the skiller and questing noob. So now we're on to the combat side.
Yeah, and I wasn't always into combat. On my way to get my max cape originally, I was just heavy into skilling, but after I got that max cape, I really started to enjoy what combat had to offer with RuneScape, and I think that a lot of the updates since 2012 really helped with that.
Yeah, and of course, that's the evolution of combat, and that factors so much into the weekly experience that people have when they log in. So, I mean, it's an excellent thing to rally around. And so you think EOC inspired that interest in you then?
I think so. I remember going to God Wars Dungeon within the first week of release with some friends and just being blown away with what you could do and how different combat was, and really just kind of experimenting with what all these abilities did and finding out how broken things were. And you know, over the course of times, things got a lot better and much more balanced, and can really appreciate combat for what it is now.
Yeah, and I think that pretty much sums up RSVNB Update as well, because, you know, we were one of the sole sources when EOC came out to, you know, go straight in and support the evolution of combat, and that has become emblematic of this podcast, and really shows the breadth that we strive for here, and that's why I'm so happy to have you with us.
So yeah, and I am happy to be here.
And we're going to have lots of interesting things to come for the rest of the year. We get to expose you a bit to questing, of course, the Ark, and a few holiday events along the way, including Halloween and Christmas. So let's just dive right into this week's content, and that is, of course, Customer Support Week, something that Jagex prides themselves on. Is that most of the time when you submit a query to their customer support line, your support ticket will be answered pretty much within 24 hours, 9 times out of 10. And they also do have a very high satisfaction rate on resolving issues. So, of course, customer support. If you don't have a good customer support end on your business, you ultimately will suffer in terms of keeping players and the community working towards, a happy community inside the game. That's the best way of putting it, I think. But, of course, also with customer support comes the onus of the user to have a little bit of responsibility on their own end. And I think that we can all say that when it comes to RuneScape accounts, these are probably next to, you know, the player's primary email addresses, the most important thing that they have, aside from, you know, of course, social security numbers, banking accounts, and whatnot online. I think we can probably all agree with that.
Yeah, the amount of investment that goes into account and just losing it, it's got to be pretty painful.
Yeah, and I mean, that's also partially why I teased that, oh, maybe you want to reveal how many hours you got on your account from your RuneMetrics profile, because I know mine is in the hundreds of days, and that's a moderate account, because I know there are lots of people with a lot more than that, and I know mine was near the mid-end of most of the people that we were comparing with when that feature first came out. So definitely a huge investment, and as with anything in life, you have to protect your investment, because if not, then, I mean, you could just lose it, or someone could come take it away from you. And this goes back to the onus of the player base. And, you know, back in the olden days, there were no bank pins and there was no real concrete guidelines as to how to keep RuneScape accounts safe. So as a result, players were kind of left at their own wits, ensuring they had safe passwords and the like. But over the years, those features have evolved, starting with the bank pin, then JAG, which was a convoluted series of questions and answers that would try and prevent people from getting into your account. But of course, that's obviously susceptible to social engineering if you use weak questions and weak answers.
Yep.
And then finally, we have the authenticator, which is, I want to say, probably 95% bulletproof in terms of securing your RS account.
I agree. I really like that update that came to security, and moving into this update, I think that it's really a great idea to reward players for doing these kind of things to further secure their account.
Yeah. So that brings us to this week, and in Burthorpe there is a fellow named Count Check. Effectively, account check. And with that, this NPC will verify that your account is safe by checking that you have a bank pin enabled and that you're using the authenticator. So each day, from the Monday up until the 9th of October, you can receive a free customer support clue scroll from Count Check. And if you have both a bank pin and the authenticator, you will get two caskets instead of if you just have one of those features enabled. So with both of those, that can pretty much give you, I want to say, two free clue scrolls each day this week, and they pull from the traditional clue scroll table. So as for example, there are people getting god pages from this, there are people getting trimmed armor, and so on and so forth. So it's an interesting way of introducing people to clue scrolls, focusing on account security, and also bringing down the prices of some of these treasure trail items that are maybe not traded enough, that their prices have gone higher to something that is not natural. So I think it's a very interesting way of handling a multi-pronged problem. So, these clue scrolls basically send you around the free-to-play world, and you answer, you know, basic account-type questions. Some of them have you go to the stronghold of player safety, and some have you go to the stronghold of security as well. And in each of these places, you just progress through them like you would any other clue scroll. And it does scale based on your account level. and whether or not you're free to play or a member. So if you're a higher skill total, you'll get better rewards than if you are mid or low level, which I think is, you know, fairly understandable in the same kind of scale as easy, medium, hard, and elite clue scrolls. So, but the best part of this is that if you miss a date, you can go back and claim all of these clue scrolls from Count Check.
You know, I think this update is just like super well thought out. Everything from like really encouraging people to do whatever they can to increase security for the reward, actually giving them a reason to go out and do this, but also sending them back to those like old stronghold of security and player safety that were released just so long ago. But that's really what those were. I remember going through them the first time and the doors asking me questions on what I should and shouldn't be doing for my account and security and stuff. I'm getting the 10K and the rainbow boots or the combat boots at the bottom.
Yeah, and you do actually need the rainbow boots and the gloves for one of the clues. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a perfect point to illustrate here that if you've already done it and you do need those rewards, you can just go back and retrieve them if you had lost them. So you don't need to necessarily answer all the questions again. It's just a matter of tracing the correct path. So, yeah. And I mean, I think that shows that these places still are useful to go to for people who are leveling up their accounts and, you know, maybe taking a break from the game. But another great thing that they did with this update is they brought back the drop. Now, normally the drop is something that we, you know, really aren't that excited about here. But this one is actually a way of teaching you about account security. So I believe every 20 minutes... the drop will activate and you can access it in Burthorpe. There doesn't need to be anyone there. So even if you just want to go there and get the rewards for this, you can do that. The rewards this time are the knowledgeable title, a large XP lamp, and a raffle to win or a raffle entry for a real life goodie bag, which will be completed at the end of the week. But at the drop, you'll get questions pertaining to account security. So, for example, where do I go to find customer support articles? And then there's three multiple choice answers that you can choose from. Which statements about Authenticator are true? What are Jagex community helpers? And how long does it typically take customer support to respond to customers? And then it basically teaches you about the entire process and you learn some stuff along the way. And once you get all 12 right, you get your knowledgeable title and a large XP lamp. So I would highly recommend everyone go there and take a look, if not to maybe refresh on RuneScape security, but to just get the knowledgeable title and a large XP lamp. So that can be accessed in Burthorpe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do this? How did it go?
I haven't done the drop, no. But I have been collecting the keys every day.
The keys?
Yeah. This week you get an extra key.
Oh, right.
If you have
right, totally forgot about that.
Or Authenticator.
That's another.
Two if you have both.
That's another. Thing right there, and I think that is definitely a good way of charming people to activate these, because who doesn't want XP when they're running an XP promotion, which we'll get to in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So anyways, just give these a look at the drop, the questions and answers here. They're not too hard, and you can probably learn something about Jagex's processes along the way. So before we move on to tweaks and fixes this week, I wanted to talk about Authenticator. Because, you know, Authenticator is something that is so crucial, I think, to the security of your RS account today.
The security to accounts in general, I think,
yeah,
is something that should be implemented a lot more.
Exactly. Because this is implementing something called two-factor authentication, which means it requires you to have something you know, which is your password, and also something you have in order to access your account. that something you have is where the authenticator token comes in. So when you log in to your account on a new device, you can also say, don't ask me for confirmation on this device for 30 days if you're using it on your home computer and you know it's going to be safe and secure. But if you're out in the library, for example, you might want to check that 30-day reminder box. So you enter that code when you log in, and then that basically verifies that, yes, this is indeed Shane logging into this RS account. And if you don't have this authenticator token and someone from a foreign IP address, a foreign country, or a foreign computer tries to log into your account, well, guess what? They won't be able to. So... Mm-hmm. I think that this is bulletproof unless your authenticator gets stolen, which I want to say accounts for 5% of the time that something like this could happen. Now, I also want to talk out there to the people who might not use authenticator for various reasons. You might not want to use your smartphone to always have your smartphone with you, or you might not even have a smartphone and you don't want to use this as being required to log into RS. I can totally understand some people doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is an option for Windows out there. I'm not sure about Mac or Linux. I only did Windows and checked Windows because I know that's what the majority of you guys play on. But there is a free open source application out there called WinAuth. You can get it at winauth.com. It's a very lightweight Windows application that acts as an authenticator on your Windows PC. So what you do with this is you just download this application, extract the zip file, store it somewhere on your computer, on your desktop, in your documents folder, wherever you might want. And then you can go through the standard process of adding an authenticator to your RuneScape account. So in order to do that, you just log into your RuneScape account control panel, click the Authenticator tab at the very top, and then select Enable, and then choose the Setup Now button after moving to that page. Then you'll be given with something that is a QR code, and this code could be scanned by your device, or it could just be entered in manually to your authenticator. So what you're going to want to do is, under the can't scan code section, is copy and paste that code into WinAuth and add a new Google-based authenticator. With that code, verify it, and then re-enter the 6-digit PIN number that WinAuth gives you on the RuneScape.com website. And in doing that, you will enable authenticator on your account, and you will be able to log in with an authenticator just as if you had authenticator on a smartphone. So this is something I think that if you don't have a smartphone, if you don't want to, always carry your phone around with you when you want to log into RS, and you're always going to be on your computer playing RuneScape, and you just want to use authenticator for RuneScape, there's nothing wrong with using WinAuth. So you can just use this, and you will get the same benefits and perks that the rest of us do who use our smartphone. So you can find that once again at winauth.com. So I would highly recommend anyone take a look at that who wants an authenticator but hasn't, wanted to go all the way in with a smartphone. So yeah, that's our little PSA for the day. So you can find that at winauth.com. All right. I assume you use Google Authenticator?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Same here.
I actually have it on two different devices.
Yeah. Okay.
It was kind of a pain to get all my stuff transferred from one device to another, but...
Oh, that's interesting. It doesn't sync, eh?
It didn't based on the way I got my new phone.
All right. Well, this is a very interesting thing also with two-factor auth, is that this code to set this up, I showed the QR code and whatnot on my screen. That QR code was invalidated after I worked on setting up this process. So even though you guys saw those numbers and the QR code and the code that I used to set up the authenticator here, that does not mean that I have given the world my authenticator code to log into my account. Mm-hmm. So it is an excellent protocol that has been designed and is in widespread use on the net. So that's how secure it is, the fact that I can show it on screen to someone and then they're not able to copy it down and use my code. So that's the kind of level of security we're talking about here. And as you said, you can use this with practically every other account out there. You can use it with Google, Microsoft, Dropbox, and lots of other ones, and those are only a few. So this mm-hmm. is the way to stay secure. All right. Do you have anything else on Customer Support Week then before we move on to the tweaks and fixes for the week?
Not so much on customer support, but for security. Something got brought to my attention just a few days ago. I was actually having a conversation with one of the other web developers where a few years ago, a couple of the big name browsers, Chrome and I think Mozilla, were having big talks about how they should be storing things in local storage on the browsers. And this is important because it can pertain to people's usernames, their passwords, their credit card information. And there is a better alternative than saving things to local storage. And I would highly recommend to not have form autofillers because based on the browser you're using, that stuff may or may not be encrypted. And what I would really recommend is LastPass. And I believe this has been brought up in this podcast before.
Yes, it has been a pick of the week before, but it's a perfect time to talk about it.
But yeah, LastPass is something that is secure. It's encrypted. You're able to put your usernames and passwords in there and have just one master username or password. And it will determine the strength of the password with much more strict parameters and even auto-generate them for you. And one other cool thing about LastPass is that it also has the form autofiller for you. So you can put that kind of information in there instead of giving it to Chrome or Mozilla to autofill your forms. So I would highly recommend using LastPass if you haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah. And I mean, you might have some concerns about LastPass because it's not necessarily hosted on your computer. And I can understand if some people might feel that way, but the company behind it, has proven to be nothing but secure and trustworthy in this endeavor. So they're a trustworthy company. So I will just say that if you do want something offline, there's also something out there called KeePass. It's open source, can accomplish the same thing as well. So there's that. So basically what you have learned here on this podcast episode in the last 20 minutes is that A, you can enable a bank PIN for your RuneScape account. Should anyone ever log into your account, that's the last line of defense. Then you have your strong password on your RuneScape account, which is stored in LastPass or KeePass or 1Password on the Mac. And then finally, you have the authenticator, which adds a second factor to that authentication so that only you with your setup authentication device is going to be able to log into your RuneScape account. And, you know, the importance of a strong password can't be understated. I think that definitely if you had a password that was, you know, probably 12 to 16 characters in length, containing uppercase, mm-hmm. lowercase digits, and special symbols, would ultimately be a good password. And you can do this. And there's a interesting little tool online that basically shows you how you can make a secure password based on how many different characters and let's just say bits of entropy that you put into it and how long it would supposedly take to brute force guess all these passwords. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you created a password called my password, capital M, capital P, password, the percent sign 0426, that's a 15-character password. And that has an effective search space, 4.68 times 10 to the 29. So that's how many guesses, roughly, would need to be taken to brute force that password. And that password is random enough that it's not dictionary-based, it's not sequential, that you would be able to reasonably assume that it would take that amount of time to guess something like that. And, you know, just if you had, a basic password guesser, at speeds of last year would take 1.4 900,000 trillion centuries to guess.
Yeah. To take that even farther, a really good methodology of using a password is to have three things that are completely unrelated. And at work, we call this the Teddy Pickle Toaster method, where you replace one of the A's with an at symbol, and you replace one of the L's with a one or something, but it fills in all of these areas with the capital letters and that, and they're all unrelated. So if someone was to use a higher end password guesser, it would take significantly longer because it's not able to go through the methodology of saying,
right,
oh, this is a first name, let's see what we can do with last names, see if it goes with last
names. And that's something kind of also to underscore is that if you're using a password regime that, you know, you want to be secure, you don't necessarily just replace the A with the at sign and so on and so forth. You come up with your own regime so that, for example, an A might be replaced with the letter or the number 9, or your letter D might be replaced with a 0, and you just basically have something simple that you can use to generate passwords that are cryptic, but you can remember. So that's just a little bit of extra security along the way. But, you know, distilling things down just to keep it simple. The simplest thing, of course, for password management, the LastPass password manager, as you mentioned, generates your passwords for you, saves them. Or if you don't want to do that, just make sure you're not using dictionary-based words. You have a digit and a symbol in it, and you'll be good to go. So that's how you stay safe online. And also authentication with the authenticator. Use that for all your accounts, including RuneScape, and there you go. All right. Hopefully listeners out there are a little bit more secure than when they first started on that. I know that.
Probably a little bit bored.
Well, yeah. And see, I mean, we could have gone into the math of this entire thing about how passwords get increase in their complexity and the search space increases, and that ultimately determines how good of a password it is. But I don't think we need to go there. So let's just say LastPass and a password with uppercase, lowercase letters, numbers, symbols.
Yeah, security is important, everyone.
Yeah, but it can also be very obscure. So, all right. So that's the drop, passwords, authenticator, learning about your own security, and basically the number one thing I think that I'll just end off with is don't enter passwords of existing services on websites that you didn't go to. If you didn't go to a website that's not runescape.com that's asking for your password, don't enter it there. All right, so on to the patch notes we go. I'm going to move through a few of these, and then you can throw some in after if you'd like. So it's now possible to view deathmatch rewards from the sign-up board in the lobby. Previously, you had to go to Edgeville in order to do that because that's where they were before. So that's nice for those who might be trying deathmatch and wondering where the rewards are. I know that caught me off guard at first. The supply table in Deathmatch now also offers Deathmatch Overload Salves and Deathmatch Super Restores, so you don't need to spend your own potions, which is very nice, I think.
Indeed.
The multi-way combat zone in Deathmatch has been made smaller, and indicators have been added to the arena. I think this is something that was definitely needed, because it felt like to me that everywhere in this arena was multi-combat, and it was, you know, a constant, you know, a pile-on of whoever would have been in that area. So I'm glad that this has been made more clear. Since we're on Deathmatch, and you weren't here last week, what do you think of Deathmatch as a kind of a kickstart to the revitalization of PvP?
I think it's a good step. I like the whole feel of everything, but at the same time, I still miss my Bounty Hunter.
Why is that? Well, I mean, Bounty Hunter will be coming back, but I assume you mean the old incarnation of it.
I am. That's why I'm looking forward to this new Bounty Hunter. I think that will be a much bigger deal towards getting people to learn PvP.
You think people will spend more time in Bounty Hunter than Deathmatch?
I think so. I think the name carries some weight to it, where people that have played in the past and remember it will really enjoy it.
Yeah, because, you know, my ultimate verdict on this was that, you know, this is effectively the combat portion of Castle Wars without the Castle Wars charm and capture the flag objective. It's, you know, just a pure killing fest. And if you have no idea how PvP works, if you, you know, don't know how armor works or how the ability system works, you're going to get slaughtered, and you're going to get slaughtered fast. And, you know, it's I hate to say it, but it's something that the PvP community does in most games. They don't necessarily reveal their tactics to new players who are wanting to get in on PvP. So that just makes it really, really difficult for people to pick up PvP, I find. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes, and see if this revitalizes PvP at all. But you think it's a good first step?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What would be your next step after Bounty Hunter comes out?
Ooh. I don't know. They mentioned the mysterious lands in the West, if that was all PvP there. I think that it would be cool that way.
All right.
I think I've mentioned that before, but they said a whole bunch of like exploring stuff on your own, just finding new stuff over there, and maybe like coming upon someone else that's doing the same thing and, you know, fighting them to see if you can figure out what they found. I think that would be something really unique, new, and super fun.
Yeah. One thing I think would be interesting to know would be what did the Darkscape experience teach Jagex about PvP, and how is that being incorporated into Bounty Hunter and Deathmatch?
Yeah, I still miss Darkscape.
Yeah.
I played just enough to miss getting the cape.
Oh.
And it hurts. I want that cape so bad, and I just don't have it.
Alrighty then. Other patch notes for this week include Doomsayer settings for wilderness entry will now be taken into account when attempting to teleport with ancient teleport tablets into the wilderness. That's, of course, relating to the deathmatch rewards from last week. Added congratulations and congrats to quick chat messages for auto replying to my skill level is level quick chat message.
Because those responses need to be even more empty than they were before.
Yeah, because, I mean, you see people using quick chat and there's no way to reply if you're on quick chat. So the Twitch tab in the community interface has been disabled in NXT. You know, this is not because Twitch for RS3 is failing or anything like that. It's just that the Twitch integration that allowed players to live stream directly from the client doesn't work in NXT, and I'm guessing will probably be ported over at some point in the future. I know it still exists in Java, so and, you know, as much of a nice gesture as this was, I think the majority of people who are streaming RuneScape know how to stream RuneScape using third-party software.
Mm-hmm.
So, not too much loss there. The current enrage for Araxor on the highest and current enrage for Telos have been added to the boss's interface in their appropriate tabs.
Beast's interface?
Oh, yes. In the beast's interface. Yes. So, how do you feel about that?
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that amazing.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess it's not, like, do they still show, for example, in Araxor, what paths are open? Do they show that publicly now? Or is that something the community still has to maintain?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure the community still needs to maintain that.
All right. The current Telos killstreak and enrage is now also displayed in the loot interface. Okay. I assume that's at actual Telos, right?
Yep.
Okay. The wieldy worm now appears on the world map if one has appeared. Anyways, that's all I got for patches this week. Anything that jumped out at you?
Not really. Just a whole bunch of smaller ones. The quest ones I don't look at that much.
In particular, then, which ones are those?
I'm just looking through them. Nothing's jumping out to me.
Okay, fair enough then. There is also something I did want to bring up and maybe poke the community about. If you are out there listening and you're running on Windows 10 and you have an NVIDIA-based graphics card, you know, recently I have been having these huge frame drops. Drivers are completely up to date. Windows is completely up to date. And basically what's happening is that on high settings in NXT, which I can normally run at around, you know, 75 to 80 frames per second, which is good. Occasionally, this will drop all the way down to 15 FPS. And the only way of fixing it is to move to the absolute minimal settings on NXT, disabling practically everything. And at that point, there's no textures, there's no extra lighting, and it's almost better at this point to just use the Java-based client. So this seems to be an issue that's happening on NVIDIA-based graphics cards on Windows 10. If you have an NVIDIA-based GPU and Windows 10 and you play RS, I would love to hear from you to see if you're having similar problems at all and what graphics card, and maybe if it is something RuneScape-related, we can write a good bug report and see if we can draw some attention to this, because right now it's something that, you know, appears to be random. I'm not necessarily sure what it's tied to, but it's only happening with RS. So I'd like to know if it's something more specific that we can work on. So if there's anyone out there having NVIDIA graphics cards issues on Windows 10, please do let me know by way of the RSBNB forum PM or sending us a message on Twitter at RSBNB. What graphics cards do you run?
I'm using the NVIDIA GeForce.
Okay. What model number?
I don't know the model number.
But are you on Windows 10?
Yeah, I'm on Windows 10.
And you haven't had any frame rate drops with NXT?
No, not really. The only frame rate issue I have is right around the waterfall area in Priv.
Interesting.
Everything else runs really fine. But speaking of the waterfall area, I'm still looking at some of the tweaks and fixes. And the Rotomatic tool gizmo, unused ones, you can now add the perks to them, which is great. And
oh, good.
All that fishing experience, instead of buying a lamp at a time, you can now buy 1,000 lamps in one go.
What?
Yeah. And it these automatically gives you from the experience.
From the fishing store, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. So you can basically stack fishing XP now.
Yeah. I know that right now I think I might be able to buy 1,000.
And how much do each of these lamps give?
3K.
Huh. Okay. That's really interesting. Normally Jagex doesn't allow you to stack lamps like this and purchase mass amounts of XP, but I guess you can now. So well,
it was such a pain in the ass to have to buy one. It takes you out of the store screen. Buy another, takes you out of the... It was awful.
And you use the urchin currency for this, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I never touched the waterfall. I went there to look at it. I've never fished there. I don't want to.
It stacks up pretty quick.
It does, and that's my problem, and how it relates to Prif, and how it was an afterthought by the players, for the players, massive amounts of XP for a skill that wasn't in the original design document. It's like, why? So, anyways, that's a really interesting update. Speaking of those extra keys that you're getting this week from the security promotion of Customer Support Week, Treasure Hunter Prismania Plus, these prismatic stars will now yield 50% extra XP, and each day they will be focusing on a different skill set, so starting with Artisan, then moving on to Combat, then Gatherer, and then Support. And then each day the skill that's boosted will give you a further 10% of XP, giving you 60% extra XP than you normally would from these stars. So definitely a great weekend to stock up on double XP, even though it seems like we just had another double XP weekend not too long ago. So, I got some large stars yesterday, and it was the Artisan Day, of course, so I was able to put them into the Herblore skill. Or is Herblore Artisan? Or is that Support?
I believe that's Artisan.
Yeah, I thought it was Artisan, but I sometimes get confused about that because the clarification or the classification isn't always clear with that. But let's just say I got around 180,000 bonus Herblore XP because of this. So that's nice. Four keys, and of course, invention is buffed by 50% on the first 4 days, and then 60% on the final day of the promotion. So once again, you can stock invention XP here as well. Woo!
Yeah.
All right. So not too much that is going to be changing the way we play RuneScape this week. So. I think it's safe to say that we can move on to the listener questions.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie. So your first set of listener questions here. The first one comes from Wiley. Hey, guys. Wiley here. Looking at your favorite skills, what would you identify yourself as, a combatant, a gatherer, an artisan, or a support RuneScape player? For Mr. Bistro's combat mind, do you think there are too few creatures that drop multiple noted cabbages? The only creatures that do are the tortoise and warp tortoise. Thank you for the show. All right. So, combat, gatherer, artisan, or support? Where would you put yourself? I think I know, but...
I'd have to say probably... combat. But otherwise, I think I might find myself as a gatherer. I kind of like the laid-backness of gathering when I'm not hanging out with a bunch of clanmates and friends.
Yeah, that's true. And then I think runecrafting, is that support or artisan? Runecrafting is artisan.
I don't know.
And okay. So is Herblore.
Okay. I think support is like prayer?
No. Apparently, according to the official classification, support skills are agility, thieving, slayer, and dungeoneering.
Oh.
Meanwhile, this is going to be hard for me because farming is in gathering. Meanwhile, Herblore is an artisan. I'd have to say gathering, because that also includes the primary figures. Skills of divination, fishing, woodcutting, and mining. So, so gathering for
Shocker.
Me. Well, I mean, yeah, it is no shock here. But so you're going to put yourself in gathering then?
No, I'm going to put myself in combat. I love combat.
All right, fair enough. Cabbages.
Yeah, there's definitely more creatures that need to be able to drop multiple noted cabbages. I'm all for it, Wiley.
See, I don't even know which creatures would drop these, so it's not a question that we can necessarily answer. So they'd have to add some more, of course, but apparently the only ones that do are tortoises and warp tortoises. And I think the logical follow-up from that is, why do these creatures drop these huge amounts of cabbages, right? Because everything else only drops one for some odd reason. You know, that's really interesting. Tortoise and warp tortoise, the only two. Huh.
They should make it so on Ape Atoll, they drop a bunch of noted cabbages. Just to kind of go back to the Brassica Prime versus Marimbo.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. You could also maybe unlock cabbage drops from the Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza mini game. That might be an interesting thing to think about. But yeah. All right. So you do think there are too few then?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So moving on. Question from the RR man. Where does your name come from, or what does it mean? And he's referring to, of course, Mr. Bistro. So looks like we got some explaining to do.
I do. Well, my name, it's not really that interesting for where it came from. I started out as Kill3R Sean, because Leet Speak was the name of the game back then, or name of the game.
Yeah, very popular in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah. But I wanted something that actually sounded like the characters in this game were talking to me. And this was well before when the title started coming out. So I included Mister, and I don't know, Bistro just kind of fit. I really can't explain why I came up with it. We had a local bistro in the town where I grew up with friends, and I just kind of thought it sounded good and went with it.
You know, one might think with that you're a cooking fan rather than a combat fan.
Yeah. I'm a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really. Well, I mean, that's easy to do in RuneScape these days, right? So
I suppose.
Yeah. All right. I thought there would have been some more meaning behind it, but
I'm sorry to disappoint, but now you know.
Yeah, because you, I mean, you have so many people in game who do have these names, and oh, there must be a story behind them, or there must, you know, be some special meaning to them. But, you know, on this podcast, most of the people who put their names together for this show just use whatever comes to their first mind. So, yeah, that is kind of boring, but I guess that is what it is. All right. Well, I believe that's all we have to answer, unless you have anything to add to either of these.
No. Well, actually, you know what? Because my name was so boring and I hadn't released the time I had played in the game before, I guess I could do that now. Because I pulled it up early on just to kind of see.
Hang on. Let's have some guesses here first. So, okay. When did you first start?
I started back in 2006.
All right. So 2006, and you played fairly consistently since then, right?
Yep.
Okay. So.
I'll tell you if you're getting hotter or colder.
All right. 450 days.
Oh, you're cold.
More or less?
Less.
Oh, okay. 300?
Less.
150?
More.
Okay, so, okay, just tell us what it is then.
I'm at 232 days.
All right. Yeah, that's a fair number. Let's see. Where do you access again? How do you get to the newfangled rune metrics thing?
It should be right under the
community tab. User. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. So we're looking into rune metrics here. And sorry, what was yours again?
231.
Okay.
20 hours.
I'm at 340 and 4 hours.
All right. It makes you kind of wonder how much of that time is actually just like bank sitting or just like walking away and doing something else or watching Netflix.
And I mean, that's certainly what I'm guilty of most of the time when I was doing farming, because I mean, you log in to do a farming run and that's all you're there for. And then you stand, you're doing other things and maybe you touch the mouse or something like that. And, then you just leave it. So, but
yeah. Well, I know that a lot of the more recent days has been literally me walking around the apartment and eventually stopping by the computer and clicking on the fishing spot and walking away again.
Well, as they call it, it's already a game, Netflix and skill, right?
Yeah.
And next year will be Netflix and kill.
Yeah.
With the nerf to those Slayer creatures. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. You can access the 3D model of your RS character on Rune Metrics if you go in there. Though it doesn't appear to be working right now in Safari. Oh, well. Well, now that that's been revealed, you can tell that... Well, I don't know. You think that's a veteran number? 240 or whatever it was?
231.
20
hours.
You think that's a veteran number?
I think
or is that middle
is.
Of the pack?
No, I maybe. I know that I have a friend that's got more time than that. He was when Divination came out. He I think went close to 72 hours straight. And those hours are documented on my YouTube channel. So his time count is way higher, I'm guessing.
Yeah. All right. I haven't looked at Rune Metrics since it was launched, and I forgot that they show the actual true skill levels here. Apparently, I have level 106 Herb Lore now.
Oh, they show true lore?
Yeah, I see 120 farming, 106 Herb Lore. Almost half the skills are above level 100. So, that's interesting.
I oh, neat. Yeah, okay.
In higher level ones. Anyways, if you guys have questions for next week, you can send us questions by visiting update.rsbnb.com/ask, or you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. We also have the Google Voice number, which I highly encourage everyone to use if you can call into the U.S., and that's 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. And, of course, in addition to the email address questions@rsbnb.com, we also have the Twitter account where we can take direct messages, so lots of ways to get a hold of us. All right. So... tech news. On to tech news we go. You know, I thought I was done talking about this.
I wish you were.
I thought the explosive washing machine was a good point to stop. And it turns out that the explosive washing machine from last week is not the point where we stop. Because this week, it turns out that a replaced Samsung Galaxy Note 7 caught fire. This was on an airplane. Thankfully, it was before the plane took off. The plane was still at the gate. The passenger was getting ready to turn the phone off as they were going to be taxiing away from the gate. And as this started happening, the phone got really hot. Then it started spewing smoke. And then the plane was evacuated, and then after this entire thing, and they came back to see what the heck had happened, It turns out that this Galaxy Note 7 burnt through the carpet on this plane and scorched the floor.
Yeah. And apparently lithium batteries can burn hot enough to melt through aluminum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
oh,
a big
yeah.
problem because it's an airplane.
There was major damage to a Boeing 787 because those had their own same lithium battery problems when they were first launched. And, of course, that grounded the entire fleet of 787s. So the battery issue was fixed. And lots of people underestimate these little lithium-ion batteries that they're carrying in their smartphones because lithium-ion batteries hold so much energy compared to other rechargeable batteries, and it is the technology behind them that lets that energy come out at a trickle rather than uncontrolled, as is happening with these explosions and fires, that makes them useful. So let's just say I don't think Samsung is going to be recovering from this one, at least not in the Galaxy Note 7 lifetime, because if this one is exploding after it's been replaced, then how many others out there are going to have the same problem?
This is what happens when you skip the Note 6.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. They want to get it in line with regular S series.
Oh, okay. You know, I honestly think that what they did skip was they did skip some of the product checks and, you know, the design in the design phase that corners were obviously cut because it was admitted by Samsung that they rushed this phone out prior to the October, you know, release that it would have had if they had followed their normal track in order to get it out before the iPhone 7 came out. And
sounds
it's a mistake.
Yeah. I think it sounds like they hired the same guy that started making the hoverboards.
Oh yeah, because the hoverboards had that same kind of problem too.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I laughed about this story last time, I thought we were done with it, but I guess this is just a good reason to stick away from Samsung. And I mean, probably the reason why the iPhone is selling how it is. And I mentioned this on the week the iPhone was released. I said the only way the iPhone will be a failure at this point is if it explodes, which it hasn't so far. And that's what everything is going to be compared to in the smartphone cycle, unfortunately. So
yeah, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I am just happy that this happened to Samsung as a company, not necessarily the end users. It's just, you know, Samsung is a pretty slimy company when you look at them for how they copy directly from Apple and or they try to and all that. And, well, they got what was coming for them. So it's also worth noting that if you look at the serial number of the phone that burnt up, it said that it is not on the list of defective devices. So, Samsung doesn't even know what's defective anymore.
It just makes me so sad because I have an S7, and it works great for me. And I've always loved Samsung products, and it's just hard to hear this kind of stuff.
And I mean, it was their first phone with an aluminum back that didn't look like a cheap toy, so. It, you know, it just had to happen to this one. But, I mean, maybe they'll learn something going forward.
Maybe.
Apparently, also, the smoke was green.
Oh.
So, some heavy chemicals in that as well. Yeah. And Samsung's official statement about this is that until we were able to retrieve the device, we cannot confirm that this incident involves the new Note 7. They're working with authorities in Southwest to now recover the device and confirm the cause. And once they have examined the device, they will share more information. They have not done that this week. And it's also worth noting that the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is opening an investigation after this incident as well. So Samsung has all eyes on them at this point. But
let's move on to a different phone.
Yeah, people who don't have all eyes on them and, you know, who have a prime opportunity to fill this market void after this debacle is Google. This week, Google released their Pixel phone, which is being marketed as the first phone that has been designed by Google. It was not necessarily made by Google, though. They did outsource that to HTC, which I think is respectable. So the Google Pixel is being billed as the official Google Android experience for this year, mainly because it has the new Google Assistant built directly into it, and they have, quote-unquote, the highest, the best reviewed smartphone camera ever. We'll have to wait and see how that turns out in the day-to-day test compared to the iPhone 7 Plus.
Consumer Reports.
Yeah, and I mean, I am skeptical that someone will be able to beat the iPhone 7 Plus in terms of camera based on, you know, all the various back-end stuff that Apple does with their camera compared to past phones that were, the, you know, the Google flagship Android phone. So we'll have to see what the day-to-day results say. But, you know, this, if you looked at this device and you didn't look at the back, you might think that you're looking at an iPhone 6S because the device is, you know, a seamless aluminum body, and it's got relatively the same form factor as the previous iPhone. So it's definitely going at the market for people who might have wanted an iPhone but didn't, because of the headphone jack. Because believe it or not, one of the core features listed on the specs for this phone is the fact that it carries a headphone jack. So take that for what it's worth. But we'll have to see how this one does. And I have been saying for the longest time that Google needs to make their own hardware and, you know, kind of step up to the level that Apple does with it. So we'll have to see if they're able to make the carriers do some things that the carriers do for Apple, but they don't do for Android devices, such as, you know, enforcing, allowing the company who makes the operating system to have full determination over the handset in terms of the operating system it runs. Don't, you know, slap AT&T or whatever based branding on the operating system, and so on and so forth. So if they're able to do that, then I think that would probably make this the Android phone I would tell people to look at. But even then, I'm still not convinced of Android as a as an operating system. So, but I guess I can ask you, since you're here, what is it about Android that you enjoy?
Well, my first smartphone was an Android smartphone, and I appreciate the open source to it. Everyone in my cubicle has Android phones. We're all developers, and that's what we prefer.
All right. So basically just the open source nature about it. You know, I just prefer the iPhone because it is a unified experience. You know what you're getting, and Apple takes it to that next level of intertwining their hardware and software together to create a great experience. And I don't think you can get that on, you know, Android phones that aren't built by Google. I don't think you can, which is something that people are lacking in terms of experience. So, and, you know, once again, with regards to phones, as long as this phone doesn't explode, I think it'll do great. Potentially, the only problem for it is that people aren't used to paying a premium for Android-based smartphones because this phone unlocked is as much as the iPhone and on contract as well. So people are going to have to make that choice if they want this kind of phone. Because if not, they're going to go to something that's a little bit cheaper and maybe has some of those carrier-enforced Android, Android-isms, let's just call them, that I find really annoying. So, like, for example, the number one annoying thing about an Android device that's not built by Google is the fact that the handset manufacturer or the carrier can put a custom version of Android on there, and then they don't get the updates when Google deems the update be released. That's my number one qualm with the platform. And following from that, it creates a huge amount of fragmentation because you have Android devices that are running on Android 5 and 6 when 7 has already been released, for example, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's an area that I wish was treated differently. Yeah.
And I mean, you have so many different screen resolutions and sizes that it just also makes it life so much harder for the people that write applications on those phones.
It's the Windows effect.
Exactly. Because, I mean, like, for example, the Pixel 5-inch one has a 1080p screen, whereas the Pixel XL has 2560 by 1440. But there are going to be other smartphones out there with different screen sizes and screen resolutions than those. So developers have to take all that into effect. Whereas with iPhones, you only have three sizes to deal with. The iPhone SE size, the regular 6 and 7, and then the plus size, and there you go. But anyways, that's enough about Android today, I think, unless there's anything about this phone that's jumping out at you.
Not really. I just like the operating system more than I like the phone.
Yeah. My problem with the operating system, aside from apps, is that everything is done by Google, and you are a basically ending up being the product of Google, and that's
yeah, but that's basically what the entire internet is.
Yeah,
with SEO and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm happy to say that the only place where I have become the product is now on when I use my Gmail. Aside from that, I don't think that that's the case unless I'm on websites. So
yeah.
All righty. Our final piece of tech news relates to Microsoft getting out of the wearables market. You know, since we're just getting to know you here, what do you think of wearables?
I think they're cool. I personally don't have any wearable tech right now. But it's something that if I had an option to have, I probably wouldn't mind it and probably enjoy it.
All right. Well, this week, Microsoft has announced that they will not ship a Microsoft Band 3 wearable in 2016, and that the Band 2 that was released last year is being put on sale to clear out remaining inventory. For anyone unfamiliar with the product, the Microsoft Band is basically a notification hub for Windows-based phone devices. So you can get one of these Microsoft Bands, and then let's say, you know, you get a text or you get an email, it would appear on your band. It can also be used as a fitness tracker. And I mean, it didn't really do much aside from have the notification on there. You couldn't actually reply to anything. You would still need to pull your phone out. It was very much an entry into the market for Microsoft, and yeah, an experiment at that. It's amazing that we saw two revisions of it before they removed it from sale. So it's safe to say, I think, that unless Microsoft can really revolutionize the way they go about wearables, I don't think they'll be going back to this kind of product. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are going back to the phone.
Yeah, they are. Rumors are, I mean, there'll be a Surface phone coming out in March or April of next year. So, mobile is still obviously going to be a huge strategy for Microsoft because they have that unified Windows platform now of Windows 10. So there's no reason not to have, you know, a tablet operating system and a phone-based operating system. So who knows? A wearable could follow, at some point in the future. And I think when you compared the wearable from, or rather compared it with some of the other options out there, including the Apple Watch and various Android-based devices, it was clear that, you know, the Microsoft Band was just very simple. And, I mean, if anyone wanted a full-fledged device, they would go for something else. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's it for tech news this week. We're going to move on to some other things, including the Skill of the Month update now. The Skill of the Month for October is, of course, fire making. You know, this Ooh. Skill of the Month is interesting, I think. because we're 5 days into the month, and we have a race going on, so to speak. We have Duke Juker in first place with 9.2 million XP. Second place Parnassius with 4 million XP, and third place Flash with 3 million XP. Granted, there has been some flatlining since then, but the fact that we have already 19.3 million XP gained in fire making,
that's nuts.
That's a little absurd. I mean, we even have Sirion on here with 1.2 million fire making experience gained. So, I mean, okay, I guess people like fire making. I mean, as far as I see that skill, it's just burning money and throwing it away. But I mean, I guess if you want to compete with it, there you go. So, will definitely be interesting to see how this one shakes up.
It's literally burning your GP.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on what you're burning. I mean, average XP for Duke Juker is 1.8 million XP a day.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
But I can relate. Back in the days of doing those lines.
Yeah, and thankfully now they have bonfires, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What would you need? So assuming you had 1.8 million XP in a day, what kind of logs would you need to get that?
I'm saying that would be Magics or Use. I think Use would be the most affordable choice. So
Use are 189 currently.
Duke Juker, if you're listening, let me know.
Yeah. I mean, we could look this up too, but we won't. So magic logs are 660 GP. Or Arctic Pines, yeah. And remember, you get the boost from bonfires as well. So it's not something that is going to be click intensive.
It's a whole bunch of protein logs.
Or it could be that too. You're right.
Okay, now we're just shooting in the dark. We're going to name every single log out there.
And I mean, there's not that many, so it's a matter of like how specialized can we get with wood, right?
Magic. Elder. Cursed magic.
All right. Well, with the start of the month, we also have the Informer Roundup for this past month. So if you are interested in seeing what went on at RSBNB and Informer in September, you can find that at informer.rsbnb.com. Good selection of everything there. You talked about Jagex's release strategy for the rest of the year and moving on into the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Tanis talked about some RuneFest changes. Alex talked about grinding in RuneScape once again. And Colton used one of his free topics to talk about wine and how enjoyable it can be. So that's what we had for September. We also had the September Skill of the Month, in which Super Clank won the Magic Skill of the Month with 18.7 million experience gained. And second place with Jaden with 9.8, and Parnassius in third place with 6.3. And of course, you can tell that King Call wrote this roundup because in the roundup he wrote, "You're a wizard, Super Clank. Congratulations on your win." Of course, referring to the famous "You're a Wizard, Harry Potter" from that movie series. All right. Well, I believe that means it's time for Achievements of the Week. And, oh, good, my notes decided to load again. They didn't for a moment. We just have one this week, and it's Mandy, who got 99 crafting on October 1st. So congratulations to you, Mandy.
Good way to start the month.
Yeah, and interesting skill that I don't think many people think of getting 99 in these days, unless they're going for max.
Yeah, that one's a pain.
Yeah, like, what do you do for crafting training? Because there's nothing AFKable. There's nothing that makes
money.
Yes,
there is. There's nothing that really.
Like, you could go for the dust, but it's not that fast, right?
It was more relaxing for me. I did that to get my crystal hatchet.
Yeah, me too.
Pickaxe.
Harmonic dust, yeah. And yep. I think Parnassius also showed how effective harmonic dust is, because I believe he won the August Skill of the Month with that. So, all right.
Walk away from the computer, click on the harp every once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Or you can even do it with your toes if you wanted and just lay back and not use your fingers. So,
that's a little weird, Shane.
Well, I mean, there are people who paint with their toes, right? Like, they use paintbrushes in their toes. Who might be paraplegic. or amputees. I'm just throwing all the possibilities.
You feel bad about it.
Well, no, I'm just throwing all the possibilities out there of ways of doing crystal dust draining. All right. Well, let's talk about your pick of the week then. What do you got?
Okay. I started listening to a podcast at work, and a bunch of people recommended it to me. It's Hello from the Magic Tavern. And I'm willing to bet that at least someone that is listening to this has heard at least a couple of these episodes. But it's kind of a podcast. It's more of a you listen to a story about a guy who fell through a magical portal into this mystical land, and he kind of learns about the land by interviewing a bunch of people from there, including wizards, shapeshifters, and all that kind of stuff. And it is a blast. There is a little bit of warning, though. There's a lot of child death and occasionally some pretty raunchy
child
jokes
death.
That go on for
child
quite a while. Child death.
Really? Wow. Okay.
It's all done in a joking way.
All right, fair enough.
I don't want to give away too much. It's really, really just up for experience. But everything is just super creative in it. It's a podcast that's been going on for a year and a half, and they upload every week a new story, and they're about half hour long. So they're really good and definitely different. So if you think of a podcast, this isn't what you'd think a podcast would be.
All right. So obviously you said language warning incoming, so we'll throw that out there right now. Mm-hmm. You can find that at hellofromthemagictavern.com, and the link, if you don't want to type that in, will be in the show notes at update.rsvmb.com.
Yep.
How long have you been listening to it?
I've been listening to it for probably a month and a half now, and I'm in the mid-60s on episodes.
All right. Well, then.
Yep. And for people that, if they don't want to just start from the beginning, even though this is a story that builds off of each other, you don't have to listen to it chronologically. My favorites would have to be episode 34 or episode 3 and 4. Those are great, too.
All right. Sounds good. So now comes the point of the show where we talk about what we've been up to. So what have you been up to this week that you can tell the listeners about that will tell them how you play RuneScape that's different from the rest of us?
Besides me clicking away and walking away with fishing, just kind of been chilling out with my new clan that I've been around a part of for a month and a half now. It's been a really great experience to not be a clan owner and just kind of lay back and have a friendly banter back and forth and go bossing with some people and show some newer people the ropes. It's really fun. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, I think that for those of you guys who aren't involved in one, it might be something worth looking into, I think, because I mean, it certainly is somewhere to go in RS. I mean, you might want to come to the RSBNB friends chat, which is Bits Bytes, if you like hanging around with podcast people or people from RSBNB in general. But there are lots of other specialized clans out there. So yeah, and of course the one that I'm a part of is Clan Quest, which we pride ourselves on questing, which is of course in the name. So I've mentioned this numerous times before on the podcast. I don't think it needs to be belabored once more, but that's Clan Quest. You can find it on the forums. So that's good. Any current goals on RS?
Just probably to finish off 99 Invention. I know I've been saying this for a while, and I really got to kick myself to do it again, but a lot of what I've been doing is kind of lobby sitting and chatting with people or chatting with everyone on now I'm drawing a blank on what it's called. The Discord.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
Discord.
Yeah, yeah, Discord. Yeah. We have RSBNB Discord as well. That's a good point. Discord is great, yeah. I think.
Discord is great. It makes me not fond of my TeamSpeak days.
Yep. Same for us in Mumble. Discord is such an improved platform over both of those that it's really great, and so decentralized too. That you just pop in a few buttons and there you go. You can access the RSVNB Discord, which is at the bottom of the RSVNB forums if you want to join that. Also, if you end up joining Clan Quest, we have one of those as well, so there's another reason to join Clan Quest. So lots of places you can find Discord as well. So, all right. Anything else on RS, or should I go?
Nope, that's it. Go ahead.
Okay. This week on RS for me has largely been focused on trying out various money-making schemes and seeing how those can go, because let's just put it this way, that Herblore itself is one of the most expensive skills in-game, so the best thing a person can do is to just find a nice money-making method if you're not an Iron Man character and train it that way. For the longest time, I have been trying to find a sustainable way to train Herblore in the confinements of Herblore and farming. So far, I've been unsuccessful, so I need to broaden the horizons out there and look at other money-making methods. And this week, I've actually come back to three of the old favorites, actually. Double runecrafting natures, of course. And mud rune crafting as well, a little bit more tedious, but still profitable. And of course, if I'm just looking for a laid back solution, there is always incandescent energy gathering at the Divination Colony.
My favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how high those energy prices have stayed, given that Invention came out back in January. And the demand has remained constant, which shows people are training Invention because people need this energy. So it's really great, I think, to see a skill that has something you can get out of it. At the lower levels, you just sell the energy to people who are training. But at the higher levels, you can bring in huge amounts of money by selling the energy on the exchange for people who are creating divine charges. And I also think that the Wilderness Divination Crater is a good way to make money, providing you don't get PK'd. But I think PKing probably, this day and age, aside from the Wilderness Divination Crater, isn't that big of a problem, especially if you go on, the French or German world. So there's some money-making ideas right there for anyone considering. Yes, they are kind of high-level, but they bring in good amounts of profit. And if they bring in good amounts of profit, that almost always means that you can look at other methods in that skill for money-making. I've already mentioned the lower energies for selling to people who are training, or the Wilderness Colony. But in terms of runecrafting, fire runes, one just needs to look at the graph for fire runes to see how much emphasis there is on that rune and how much that market has changed since the Rune Goldberg machine came out. I mean, fire runes are one of the most expensive runes there is. They're 73 GP right now.
Wow.
I remember when they were 9. So,
yeah.
And if you take 73 GP, you can easily make money with that. You don't even need pure essence with that if you're free to play. So, there you go. All right. Well, I believe that's all I've got to say this week. Anything else from you?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about RuneScape and all of its other little things that it leads to, whether it be exploding smartphones, washing machines, or the superiority of iOS over Android.
Oh, you had to finish with that.
Well, I'll just give you the last word. Anything else before we go?
No, I'll let you have this one.
All right. Well, then.
You're stuck with me.
That's right, till the end of the year. Thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Bye.